Ezekiel chapter 38. You know, in studying the book of Ezekiel, coming to chapter 36 and 37, you could actually say, and you could actually put in your Bible, fulfilled, where chapter 36 and 37 already have been fulfilled by the nation of Israel. Chapter 38 and 39 are future fulfillment in prophecy. And this week, as I was going back and studying some of the passages here in the book of Ezekiel, I was thinking how we are living not only in the last days, but the importance of living righteously before the Lord comes, not self-righteously, but really becoming men and women of integrity, men that are responsible. Women that are responsible for their actions. Especially in studying the parables and looking at the 10 virgins, the 10 main representatives of the church. 5 had oil. They were ready when the Lord came. They were taken where the others ran out of oil and had to go get oil. And when they came back, they were left behind. I think it's important that we understand that for sure the world is collapsing. The economies of the world are going crazy. Surely we cannot put our trust in the economies of the world. Surely we understand that God is in control of everything that's going on. He's a sovereign God. Even though things may get hectic, yet God still remains on the throne. He knows exactly what's going to happen in the future. And yet to me that brings great comfort to my life, because if I recognize that God is in control, then no matter what happens, I am going to continue to trust in Him. For He's the one that leads and guides and provides for our needs. We don't have to get shook up. And sometimes when we read scriptures and we read prophetical things, some people don't believe in those things. Some people believe, but they don't do anything about it. And then there are those that read and believe and continue to look for the coming of the Lord. I think that's where we've come to this morning as we look at the book of Ezekiel, where you really have to look at your own life, because the prophecy given here by the prophet Ezekiel is a prophecy of a future battle that will take place in the near future very soon. Not only is the enemy described here and proclaimed, but also those nations that will come with this enemy against the nation of Israel in the future to come. 2,700 years ago this was written, and today it is almost a fulfillment. Almost a fulfillment. Look how it begins in the book of Ezekiel, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 38. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, and the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. The first thing we have here is the word of the Lord being proclaimed against Gog and Magog, the prince of Meshech and Tubal. So first of all, we have to identify who is the prophecy to. Who are these people that he's talking about? Many of the commentators of the past declare that this was a prophecy against Egypt. Some against Syria. Some even proclaim that this was a prophecy against Alexander the Great. And some even against Antiochus Epiphanes. Some say this was a prophecy against the Romans. And yet when you read the prophecy is not hard to understand. It tells you exactly who he is, where he's coming from, and where he lives. So there's really no confusion. You don't have to add to the scripture or make up something to put on there. One thing, when the Eastern Wall was taken down in East Germany, remember when this whole thing came down, there was a lot of not only riots, but there was a lot of proclamation going on of a new world order. Finally, communism has been defeated and everybody got excited. People began to see a new world coming about. And it did happen. And even though the Soviet Union is not the way it used to be, keep your eyes very closely on the USSR. Because the prophecy is about Russia. Even though the Soviet Union has been broken down, the six remaining nations in the Soviet Union and all of the other nations the scripture talks about here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 38, they're all Islamic nations. Remember what I told you. They're all Muslim nations that are going to come against the nation of Israel. And it's interesting because what God is doing here, He's actually making a proclamation that this army will come and they will come from the north parts of Israel. And they'll come to make an invasion against the people of God. Once they're back in the land and they're living in safety and they have no walls and they've become pretty prosperous, then they're going to come. Now what's incredible about the prophecy is that these nations will not come until God brings them to this place. It is going to be the act of God, not the act of men, when this happens. It's very clear when he speaks prophetically, speaking here. Literally, in verse 2, when he speaks about Gog, literally the word here is ruler. That he's a ruler. And when he uses the word Magog, he's speaking of the ancient Scythians. And you can read up that in history. These people were very wicked people. Very cold-blooded people. And it's actually in reference going back to the Russians' ancestors. And then when he uses the word the chief, prince, the word chief here is actually... The term comes from the root Rush, which we get our name today, Russia. And then the word Meshech, it's also a word that goes back to the book of Genesis chapter 10, at the time where they were the descendants of Japheth, the sons of Noah. And then when you take the name and you look it up, historically speaking, you have the word Mushiki or the word Mushik, or literally Moscow, speaking of the capital city where these people live and dwell. Moscow, the capital city of Russia. And the prophecy is against the Russians. And then in verse 3 he says, "And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal." Does that mean that God hates the Russians? That's not what it means. It means that God is going to use the Russians to fulfill His purposes in this life. Just like He used Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, Rome, Alexander the Great. And it's incredible because when we read these things, is that God wants to do something where He wants people to understand that He is in command, not the communists or not any leaders of the world. He sits on the throne and He controls the nations of the world. Because as He gives His prophecy here, verse 4, look how they're going to come. God will lead them. In verse 4, he tells you, "I will turn thee back, and I, God, will put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all your army, and horses, and horsemen, and all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling the swords." So there's going to be a very equipped army coming. As a matter of fact, for the last 40 or 50 years, the Russians have been buying horses from all over the world, equipping their army with horses. They have one of the greatest armies of horses, the Russians, even today. And of course, when Ezekiel is riding, I mean, how would you describe tanks or helicopters or nuclear weapons? Next week in chapter 39, it's interesting when he speaks of the bow and the arrow, the word for arrow in Hebrew is actually speaking of a missile. Interesting. How did Ezekiel know that? That we have missiles today. You see, it's not going to be a war where they're going to fight by horseback and arrows and bows and shields and swords. This is the way that he rides as he sees things as God is predicting and giving him the prophecy. This war that will take place very soon in the Middle East, this is not the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon will not be until after the 7 years of tribulation, right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. At the Battle of Armageddon, the Bible says there's going to be 5 feet deep of men's blood, 200 miles wide. Revelation chapter 16 talks about that. But this war that is taking place here in the near future, it is going to be the war before the 7 year tribulation. Now, concerning the church, we don't know if the church is going to be here to see this, or after this, we will be taken out of the world. We don't know where at the beginning or at the end. It could be that we will see this battle, and then the end will come. And then it will be the beginning of the 7 year tribulation. Now, how do I know that? Well, in the next chapter, he tells you how long they will burn their weapons for 7 years. And it'll take 7 months to bury their dead as they have to hire professional buriers. Why? Because probably it's going to be nuclear warfare. How did Ezekiel know that? He did not know that, but the Holy Spirit now can show us that. God knows all things. And it's interesting that as God predicts and God prepares what's going to take place, God has those nations that he will use against his people, the Jews. Why? Because God loves the Jews. Everything God has said about the Jews has come to pass. God said they would be scattered, and God said they would be regathered. Today they're back in their land after 2,700 years of being roaming all over the world. They're back on May 14, 1948. They became a nation, and now they continue to multiply, just as God said it would happen. God's word is true. And then the armies, they will come with Russia. Look at verse 5. The coming nations with Gog, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with all of them with shields and helmet, they're coming to make war. Gomer and all his bands, and the house of Togarmah, the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. And it's interesting when he speaks about these people. Because first of all, identifying these nations, Persia is in reference to modern Iran today. Modern Iran, they're Islamic. Ethiopia, it's in reference to the African countries that will come with the Russians. Those countries that are Islamic will gather together with these other nations to come and attack Israel in the near future. Libya, we know who that is. And then Gomer is in reference here to Germany, to the German people, the East and the West coming together. And then he says the house of Togarmah, which literally is the area of Turkey, and this is speaking of Turkey, Poland, Afghanistan, and Armenia. All these nations gathering together to come with Russia against Israel. Now, these nations are going to be used for God's glory and God's honor. And if you look at the map at the Black Sea, and you look at the surrounding cities around the Black Sea, and you begin to study each one of these ethnic groups that surrounds the Black Sea, and where God speaks where this mighty army will come in the near future, you can see how God's hand and how God's leading and God's prophetic word is so true. Preparing for the battle to come. And then watch this, verse 7. Be thou prepared, and prepare for yourself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. God here calling to preparation, to be on the guard. And then he gives you the time of the battle. After many days thou shalt be visited, speaking to Israel. In the last days thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of all many people, and against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. How did Ezekiel know that? I mean, at this particular time, Ezekiel has just gone in captivity to Babylon. God is just judging for the first time. They still have to go through the Roman judgment, and they still have to go through many, many things where they're going to be scattered for 2,700 years, just as God has said. But God makes a promise that they will come back. Have they come back? Yes, they've come back. They're in the land today, just as God said it would happen in the last days. So does that mean that these are the last days? That's what God says. These are the last days. Everything's closing up. And then it's interesting because watch what he says. He's going to bring them back. But check this out. In the last days thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. Today they're not waste. You go over, it's like the Garden of Eden, man. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And thou, Gog, shall ascend and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all of your bands, and many people with you. Notice that. And thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at that same time shall things come into your mind that you're going to think evil thoughts in your mind. As God begins to pull, as God begins to stir up the nations of the world, Russia and her invading army coming against Israel, these people will begin to think something evil to come against the people of God and destroy them, just like in the past. People have always tried to wipe them out. And then watch this, verse 11. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go up to them. Notice those that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them that are dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. And what will he come? And here is specifically why the Russians will come, and all these Islamic nations will come. Number one is because Russia is starving to death. There's a famine in the land. And they want all of the rich minerals that Israel possesses today. All the things that they have, they're going to come and take possession of. Watch what it says in verse 12. I'm going to come to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn the hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. Which means what? It's a time of prosperity when they're coming. And you can say that today Israel is living in a time of prosperity. They have sheep, they have cattle. They're growing bananas and cucumbers and tomatoes in the deserts. They're the third leading country in the world, where every morning jets pull into Europe and they bring flowers and they bring fruit and they bring hundreds of things that Israel has been supplying to Europe and to the other parts of the world because God has blessed them. And then these Islamic nations that are lacking in food, lacking in supplies, are going to take advantage and say, hey, we know where we can get it from. We can go to Israel. We can invade them. We can take everything from them because we are stronger than they are. But they forget one thing, that God fights for Israel. They forget all about the hand of the Lord. Watch what he says in verse 13. When this happens, when this invasion takes place, the United Nations will take counsel and begin to make a condemnation against these people. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto you, hey, are you coming to take a spoil? Are you gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, and to take away cattle and goods, and to take a great spoil? You see, they're becoming an aggression to the nation of Israel because they don't have any goods. And so the United Nations gather together and say, hey, what's your trip? What are you doing? What's this aggression about? But you know what's interesting? Sheba and Dedan is Saudi Arabia. Sheba and Dedan are the Saudis in Saudi Arabia. And then the merchants of Tarshish, you can go way back to Genesis chapter 10 and study the genealogies, the ethnic genealogy groups. And these are the English, England. And then what's interesting, we don't have anywhere in the Bible where God speaks about the United States of America, but this may be the only place where we are found, where we make a big stink about the invasion in the Middle East. And you can see the big part that we play right now with Israel, either for them or against them. But the young lions here is in reference to Australia, New Zealand, and the United States of America. Many interpreters believe that. The young lions. All of the English-speaking countries coming together toward the aggression of the Russian army and saying, hey, what are you doing? What is the meaning of this whole thing? This is only the beginning, my friends, of what's going to happen. But look what he says, verse 14 now, God's message. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, go tell Russia this, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people, the Jews of Israel, dwell safely, shall thou not know it. You see, they're not going to know. God's going to be doing the aggression. God all of a sudden will say, hey, have you ever thought about going and gathering food for yourself and your people to the nation of Israel? God is going to put the thoughts in the minds of these people. Why? Because God is in charge. God's in command. Watch, he'll tell you the whole thing here. In that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, and on them riding upon horses in a great company and mighty army with you. Now if you're standing in Jerusalem and you look to the north of Jerusalem, you will have what? You will look at the land of what? The USSR. He even tells you where they're coming from. They're going to come from the north. And if you look at the terrain, when you're looking at the map, you will see that some of these armies will have to use horses to come because of the terrain, because some of the terrain cannot be used by tanks with modern warfare as they're coming. But every modern, you know, tank and helicopter and nuclear weapon will be used in this battle. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it says that at this battle, God will wipe out 5/6 of the Russian army. 5/6 supernaturally. And then he'll tell you here what kind of weapons he will use. But then watch this in verse 16 as they're coming. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as the cloud that covers the whole land, which is a multitude of people, and it shall be in the last days. There it is again, second time. It's not going to be at the time of Ezekiel. It is going to be in the latter days. And if you look up that term in your Hebrew lexicon, it will tell you this is right before the second coming of Jesus Christ. The last days. Right before everything comes to an end. So this prophecy, this war, will be in our time. Soon, it will take place. And then he says this will happen in the last days. And I, God, will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, and I shall be sanctified in thee, O God, before their eyes. Why am I doing this? So that the nations of the world will know that I am God, and I am doing it. Not man. Not any leader. It is God that is bringing this war together. To show the world one more time His grace and His love and His mercy. And I believe that when God shows us this, whether the rapture came at the beginning or not, if we are not gone by this particular time, I believe this will be one of the greatest signs before the rapture of the church, when the whole world will see that God is at work and people will be able to accept or to reject. And then the beginning will begin of the end. As God has spoken it. We're coming to that point now, very soon. And then he says this in verse 17. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old times by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring you against them? Even God here brings out the purpose that he not only spoke to Ezekiel, but he spoke to Zechariah, he spoke to Joel, he spoke to Nahum, he spoke to all these other prophets about this Russian army that would come. He even spoke to Daniel in the 11th chapter that Russia would come and invade the Middle East. God spoke about it in other books, not just Ezekiel. And so God confirms it here. Verse 18. And it shall come to pass at that same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, then my fury shall come upon my face. At this particular time, God's had it. This time he's mad. Redness of face. That means you don't mess with God. That means he's going to pour out his judgment now. And watch this. For in my jealousy for his people, the fire of my wrath have spoken it, and surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. You know what the first thing is going to happen? Is God is going to send a great earthquake to this world. He's going to shake up everything. Now we hear a lot about earthquakes today. And we've had some pretty strong earthquakes here in California and, of course, in Russia and in Europe, in Eastern Europe, and then, of course, in China. They've experienced more tremendous earthquakes than we have here. Hundreds have died. Thousands have died in earthquakes. And yet the Bible speaks about three major earthquakes that are coming in the last days. One of them is here in the book of Ezekiel before the seven-year tribulation, where he says he's going to shake up everything in the land. And then if you turn to Revelation chapter 6 and 16, he says that one of the earthquakes that comes in the tribulation period will actually shake every island and every mountain out of their places. And then the second earthquake that comes, not one island, not one mountain will be found. God will flatten the whole earth just to show his power. Japan, the Philippines, Fiji, Hawaii won't be there, so you don't want to live in Hawaii for sure. You'll be history. Pretty heavy. Catalina will be gone. San Clemente Island will be gone. Maybe even Baja will be gone. But God says he's going to shake the land. Imagine to come out one day after this earthquake and you can't see Mount Bolo, you can see the desert right from where you are. There'll be clear skies, no more smog then for sure. But that's going to be quite a day. We've been here in the services so many times when earthquakes have come and these speakers started shaking. The last one was the most funniest because you really saw who had faith and who had faith. We saw people running out panicking, you know. But and these things were just kind of wild everywhere, you know. It's kind of scary when an earthquake comes. But imagine one where you can't stand. It just sits you down with such force. Watch what God says. Not only the earth, he's going to shake the oceans. Verse 20. So when this earthquake comes, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of heaven and the beasts of the field and even every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, every wall shall fall to the ground. You want to make sure you're not in LA at this particular time. Heavy. What God says. God has said it. God's going to do it. It just takes time to do it. He will fulfill that prophecy. And then he says in verse 21, And I will call for a sword against him, against Russia, throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. God will cause civil war against those armies coming against Israel, where they start fighting each other. Civil unrest. And then, watch this, 22. I will plea against him with pestilence and with blood, and then I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones of fire and brimstone. I believe that this is a nuclear warfare here. Nuclear weapons will be used at this particular time. And next week I will prove it to you. These are nuclear weapons. Or there'll be a great contamination for 7 months where they have to hire professional buryers to bury the dead. And then Israel will use the weapons for 7 years for their own resources. That's what the Bible says. So we know that it's going to be 7 years before the tribulation period. All these things will come to pass. God speaks of what he will do here. And then here is God's purpose as he helps Israel. Miraculously, verse 23. And thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Many of the nations at this particular time will come to know the Lord because they'll see his power. Heavy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, for your love, and for the mercies you give to us so richly. Lord, we ask you that you give us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying even in these days.